if at any time when I'm speaking here, because of the vastness of the room, if at any time when I'm speaking that you can't hear me, please don't hesitate to raise up your hand, because what I have to say this morning, I'd like to have you hear. It's not because it comes from me. It's because it's the teachings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the way into life. My brother was talking about that love of all eternity. He picked the songs this morning, and the first song we sang, I think, is very appropriate on how gentle God's command. Even in the time of stress and of great need of God to have a people to stand up and be counted for Him, yet gently He commands, yet with a strength and power known only to those who have taken the time to look for it, for that sustaining strength and power for the things to come. And I'm going to speak on some of those things today, and I'm going to bear witness to you today of those things that I have witnessed in my short lifespan as evidence of the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to start today on page 165, where Nephi was closing in his last words, and he was concerned. And you know, my brothers and sisters, I believe that each one of us should be concerned. We should be concerned for the welfare of our soul, for the welfare of the souls of our brothers and sisters in the household of God. We should be concerned for the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should be concerned for the welfare of every one of the whole human family of Adam. Just like this ancient brother Nephi was concerned. And I'd like to begin on the fourth verse. He says, "For I pray continually for them by day, and my eyes water my pillow by night because of them. And I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that He will hear my cry. And I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people." Here is a man that recognized the power of prayer and of an earnest heart and of petition of God. And he recognized that if he would reach out with that prayer and utilize it and put it to use, that it would be consecrated to the welfare of the children of men, for the work of the gospel of Christ. And remember, further on in the Book of Mormon, we were commanded, and I'm not going to preach on fasting and prayer, but we were commanded to fast and pray for the souls who had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. To fast and pray for those who have never had the chance to embrace the knowledge and the peace and the joy that comes with an understanding of the outpouring of that Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord as it touches the hearts of the children of men and verifies the evidence of those things not seen to their heart, that they become a reality and a truth within them. "And the words which I have written in weakness will He make strong unto them. For it persuadeth them to do good." The words of the gospel of Jesus Christ persuadeth them to do good. And if we were to go into the last time when he was speaking of the day that would come, say there'd be two churches, and the power of that abominable church should rise up and be arrayed against those, he said, "But yet they were protected and they were taken care of because they were armed with righteousness." They were armed with that faith and that belief and with a proper walk with God the Eternal Father. We're living in the day. You're living in the day. I'm living in the day that shall become a reality. I want us to realize that the time and the day that we're living in, we're living in the day of folding up. The finishing of the prophecies of old has been prophesied by those who were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. And they are being unfolded before our eyes daily as a witness of that God who can view the future and proclaim through those whom He chooses those things that should stand as evidence and as a witness for Him in the last day. He makes strong unto them, for it persuadeth them to do good, it maketh known unto them of their fathers, and it speaketh of Jesus, and persuadeth them to believe in Him and to endure to the end, which is life eternal. It persuadeth the individual, that persuadeth them to endure to the end, to hold fast to that rod of iron, to hold fast and to prove all things, and to hold fast to that which is good. And if there's a time in history that is going to call for vowing, for the children of men to prove all things and to hold fast to that which is good, it's at this dispensation of time when He begins to fold up the last of the Scriptures and lay it before the children of men, when the time comes that it shall go forth, and I believe this with all my heart, with a power of love that shall smite the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ under His truthfulness and of the beauties of the promise of God. And it speaketh hard against sin. Now, you know, I can't tell you that the gospel of Jesus Christ does not speak harsh against sin. Because though He loves the sinner, He abhors sin. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if it be those who shall be armed with righteousness, it indeed shall speak harsh against sin. It must speak harsh against the lion, to whose teeth is sharpened, that Peter tells us shall go about to devour the nations of the world, to devour the souls of the children of men. And those teeth shall be plucked, that he chews with gums, through them by the dedication of the children of men, when they are sponsored and directed by the power of God the Eternal Father and His Holy Spirit. And not of the strength and power of a man, nor of his understanding, nor the wisdom, nor the strength of the arm that comes. The strength that shall come unto the saintly people shall be the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shall be a love for God the Father and for Jesus Christ and for the gospel. For that gospel that shall go forth and subdue the nation, that gospel that was cut out of the mountain without hands. It was cut out of the mountain without the hands of man, but by the power of the eternal God, the Father, to reach out to the soul of the children of men. And it speaketh harsh against sin, according to the plainness of truth. And indeed, the gospel of Jesus Christ speaks out hard against sin, according to the plainness of truth. Wherefore no man will be angry at the words which I have written, save he shall be of the spirit of the devil. How often times have we heard a brother or a sister say something to us that just, boy, it just gets under our hide. Oh, we hate to hear that. But down inside we know it's the truth. That it shall speak. And that gospel shall speak. That plainness shall go forth unto the nations of the world. It shall go forth with power and conviction. Now you say to me, is that so? My goodness, we're a little tiny, my new people. Boy, when it comes to numbers, we couldn't even hardly wad a pop gun compared to the associations of the many affiliations of the world. Oh, that's true. And I'd like to bear a testimony unto you. When I was the age of some of these little and some of these young in this audience, I heard some of my ancient brothers and my grandfather Yates and Brother Hutton and Brother Bell and many of those proclaim that the day would come that Jerusalem would again belong not to the Gentiles, but they would belong to the house of Israel. and it would be under the control and the power of the house of Israel. And though I was young, and though I didn't fully understand at that particular time, I heard those things, and I heard people say, oh boy, he's a mighty speaker, old James, but he got a little off today. But James, my grandfather, he didn't live to see that day. He passed away. The Lord took him in 1953. But I bear testimony unto you that his grandson, that heard him proclaim those things that were prophesied through the mouth of God and his holy prophets in 1967 in the Six-Day War, I lived to see those things. And the prophet that was prophesied by the Holy Father unto the children of men to edify them, that they might understand the age in which they live in, and understand that he is God that can view through the ages of time and proclaim the pattern of men and their wickedness. If that's God, that none of his word shall come back unto him void. And I would ask if you look at the time of day, young people, old people, middle-aged people, look at the time of day that we live in. Jesus said, oh, it's going to be in a period of time that those individuals shall be just like it was in the time of Noah. You know they wouldn't hear the word of plainness and the truth? Did you know they wouldn't heed? They were about doing their own thing. Isn't that a slogan of the world? Do your own thing rather than that of doing God's thing? Isn't the slogan of the world today the rise of homosexuality? Not too long ago, it was printed in the paper that one of the greatest cities in the United States, like San Francisco, was over 50% of homosexuals. Is that going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah? Can we look and realize that God has laid before the children of men who will study and seek a vision and understanding that will proclaim and prepare them for the things to come? And oh yes, even though he said there be great trials and tribulations such as never been before and will never be again, but also there will be an outpouring of God's Spirit upon those who will believe and trust him such as not been before. It will lead and direct them and make them stand as a statue with a spiritual strength beyond the understanding of the world, to proclaim and to live and to be those who are armed with righteousness. But he has done those things. So young people, so you can look at the day that you live in, that you can come to the realization that within this generation, know that I'm at the very door. Has not the love of many waxed cold? Does not justice sleep in the streets? Are not the children disobedient to their parents? Do we not see the signs that God the Eternal Father has caused to be written to edify the hearts and the minds of those who read and believe, that would reach out and get a hold of the plainness and recognize that it was not written by the wisdom and the understanding and the desire of men, but it was written as holy men of old was moved by the power of the Holy Ghost to edify the soul through the generations of time and of the future times, as well as those who would read in the present time, that they might understand that there would be a preparedness, that when they heard the truth preached, they wouldn't be offended, but they would believe, and that they would know that that is the voice of God speaking through the ages to the souls that would listen, speaking to the ages to revive and to renew in their mind and their heart that there is a king over all, and he shall reign over all, and that every knee shall bow and testify that he is that king, and the day shall come that the lion shall be subdued under the power of that king, and he shall become a whippling little thing that even a child can stroke because of the power of a Savior, a power of one who laid down his life that those who would believe could take it up again and stand for the things that are mighty and true. I have charity for my people. Excuse me, I've got to go back here. And it speaketh hearts against sin, according to the plainness of truth, wherefore no man will be angry at the word which I have written, save it shall be those of the evil spirit. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. Is not the gospel of Jesus Christ the plainness of truth? Is it not those things that we should apply to our lives? Is it not those things that is so pertinent for us to give heed to? Isn't it so important that he caused those things to be written that we could go study and seek and know and understand? It was so important. It was so important that he caused him to be handed down from generation to generation and to be buried and even given to people who said, I have not walked in the way of the Lord. I have lived much with the sword. But nevertheless, they preserved the record that the day would come that you and I would be edified under that spirit that gives the edification to the souls of the children of men who will study and seek upon bended knee and be taught of the spirit of life, that they might understand and to know the truth. That they would understand and see the period of time that we live in. That they would understand and see the rebellion and the things about them. That they would understand that this nation dwindles and decays in righteousness and is growing rapidly in sin. To understand the prophecy that spoke out and said that whatsoever nation shall possess this land, which is the land of promise, they shall worship the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ. Or when they ripen in iniquity, they shall be swept off of this land as those hitherto have been. Again, you and I read and see the evidence where there was a people who was lost, even down to one, Coriantumr. Again, we see that the Jews had conquered Jerusalem in a six-day war where the power of God had set his hand for that proclaiming of the house of Israel, that it belongs now to the Jews or to the house of Israel, and it's no longer under the power of the Gentiles. We see the movement of God. We see the time that God is speaking. He's speaking to you and I, those who have supposedly embraced the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, come awake and alert and alive in the time in which we live. Be aware of those things about you. Be aware of the responsibility that comes with the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be aware of the responsibility that is ours to take up. Oh, we've got many responsibilities, and they belong to those of the household of faith, those who believe, those who shall be armed with righteousness. For to much is given, much is required, withhold. I'd like to read a few verses on page 110 in the Book of Mormon. This is Jacob speaking. And I would like to start all in the 74th verse. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is eternal life. To be carnal minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is eternal life. O my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you. For if ye do, ye will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker. You know, we better stop and think for a minute. If a man is speaking the words of our Maker, then that's the time and the moment to take heed. That's the time and the moment to begin to think, what is it that the Maker is saying to me? What is it that our Savior is trying to bring to our understanding. That's the time. Right then, not say, well, I'm going to put that off, but I'm going to come back tomorrow and I'll think more fully on it, or I'll be back next month and see you again and we'll talk about that. He says, do not procrastinate your period of time of probation. Do not procrastinate your period of time of probation. And so oftentimes, we not only have it within us that which procrastinates a period of time of probation, but we procrastinate the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ because of a lack of a dedication and a zeal. To those things that we know to be true, we keep looking in the future and say, well, now someday I'm going to this and someday I'm going to that. Today's the day to be counted for Jesus Christ. Today's the day to bear that witness. Today is the day to be that light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. Today is the day to speak out from the housetop and to proclaim to anyone why we have the hope that's within us. This day. Do not say I have spoken hard things against you, for if ye do, ye will revile against the truth, for I have spoken the words of your Maker. I know that the words of truth are hard against uncleanliness. Oh, here's another brother that's witnessing the fact that the words of truth is hard against uncleanliness. And you know what's an odd thing? That over the world today, you've got a lot of people, supposedly ministry, that tells you that it's all right for homosexuality. Yet they better turn over in the first chapter of Romans and read, hadn't they? Yeah. It's so easy for man to begin to turn away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And every time we do that, even in the things that we want to do, we try to pacify our soul and our conscience by trying to say and give ourselves a reason why we do those things. And is not the world doing the same thing? The world is constantly doing the same thing. They're trying to appease themselves. And they're being appeased by the power of the adversary to lead them further and further away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I know the words of truth are hard against all uncleanliness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love truth. Oh, what a beautiful word. For the righteous fear them not, for they love truth. Isn't that the truth? You bet. Because they love truth. And not only do they love it to the magnitude that they want to spread. You know, love is of no avail if it's held within you. Love is something that you made to give away. You hold that gift within you, it's of no avail to you whatsoever. Love is made to give. The gospel of Jesus Christ is love. God is love. It's made to give to the souls of the children of men. And indeed it is that plainness and that truth that is strong against unrighteousness. But does not the world need something strong against unrighteousness? Does not the world need to be edified of the day and time they live in, that the buds have already begun to open on the tree? And that already he standeth at the door. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whosoever knocketh to him he will open, and the wise and the learned and the rich and who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despises. those who turn away the gospel of Christ. Those are those who reaches out in a different manner. Those are those who come against the truth. Those are those who would proclaim or endeavor to teach those who are not true. I'd like to read on page 772 when Moroni has written the account of his father, Mormon, that he had written to him in an epistle, and he's told him this in the sixth verse. He says, "And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness," the hardness of the Lamanites at that time, those who had once possessed the gospel of Christ. Remember what I read before that? That it was necessary to endure to the end? Believe that, my lovely brothers and sisters, because it is indeed necessary that we remember that we must endure to the end, the same to be saved. It is a constant and it is a steady walk with Jesus Christ. It is a constant and steady work within our life to be an example to glorify our Holy Father. It is a constant thing. But these had lost it. And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding the hardness, let us labor diligently. For if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform while in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. I'm looking at a people, and I look at a person when I look into a marriage, that though there are many things across the face of the earth that we recognize, it is not of God. We must not cease to allow our voice to be heard for righteousness, that it should be subdued. And that as we have been called, and oh, what grace and power, what love of God the Father. I heard my brother Don pray this morning. He said that thy grace is sufficient. Every time I sit down at the table, and you can tell I've been bonded with that. Every time I have the privilege to come and to gather together with a people, it's brought to mind how richly I'm blessed to live in a land of freedom. Every time I meditate about the souls across the nations of the earth that has not been privileged to embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, why was I picked by the Father? Why did He move upon my heart to come and to believe? How is the multitude of the nation? I can't answer that. But thank be to God He did. And why I'm here in this clay, I am aware of the fact that there is a labor that must be performed. And that labor that must be performed for us as a people, that labor must be as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. And you say to yourself, well, Brother Gates, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that. What labor can I perform? Oh, you can support the gospel of Jesus Christ in any way. Who has a beautiful voice? Can you sing for the Lord? Who has the ability to play the piano? Can you play for the Lord? Who has the ability to go out and to touch people and help them when they're sick? Oh, there's many labors that can be performed for the work of God through Jesus Christ. It's not just standing in this podium that He just touched and blessed. And of what man can stand before you and beat himself on the chest and say, well, I did this and I did that? Does not the Scripture tell us that even if you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in His truthfulness and in His plainness, that unless it's powered by God, that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost carries that message to their heart, it shall fall on their ears. What can man do of himself? The only thing a man can do of himself is to yield, be submissive to the will of God the Father. and to do the best he can. Not another thing my grandfather Gates told me a long time ago in his preaching. In his teaching, he says a man owes it to himself to do the best he can. And I believe that. I believe a man does owe it to himself to do the best he can. Because not only does he help himself, but he also helps those about him. He also helps those about him. And it isn't that love, it isn't that growing power of Jesus Christ. It is in that unity. It is in that group of people that has not lost its Savior. That is still sovereign by the power of the God who has drawn them from the world and has partially cleansed their heart and mind and has given them whatsoever knowledge that they had or possessed that is true and beautiful. They have but one to thank for it. And that's God the Father and the Spirit of truth. For that's where the plainness comes, is through the directing power of that Holy Spirit that edifies this truth of us to the hearts of the children of men. I'd like to go over to the 17th chapter of Alma at this particular time. And here in the 17th chapter of Alma, Alma's speaking to his son, Helaman. And he's telling them about people just like you. Well, maybe not. Maybe you wouldn't people like me. He's telling about a people that God led into the wilderness out of Jerusalem to save their lives. He's telling about a people that after God had led them in the wilderness to save their lives and to bring them over here and to make them a nation of people of the seed of Joseph. A nation to whom God shall recognize and has recognized. A nation to whom he has gone to all the trouble to bury a record and to have it brought forth that word again should go forth unto his ancient covenant people that might again know from whence they have come and who their God is. That nation of people. But yet when they were in the wilderness, they rebelled against God. Oh, isn't that usually the story? Isn't it usually the story how quickly people rebel against God? Though so oftentimes they have been such a people that have been so endowed by the Spirit. Yet they become callous quickly and they forget quickly of the spiritual experiences that they experience under the influence and power of that Spirit that captures the living truth and has led a fine effect. Alright? So he's talking about a people who have wandered into the wilderness and who have turned against them, and boy, they turned against their father, and who's their father again? They'll turn against God, and finally he tries to say, hey, we've got to get ourselves in order here. And because of that, we're covered in the wilderness, and they're being hungry, and this is food, and the physical food. All the rest is one of the spiritual food, and God said, I'm asking. But he's going to keep going. And I want to stand in a certain room first and say, now my son.
Behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ. Isn't that the truth? You know, we form habits. We form habits in life. Every one of us form habits. Some of us can form habits, and I'm not speaking out, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but how many people could we have here today, and I don't mean to hold up your hand, that form habits of smoking or drinking or form habits of doing things that you have no business doing? You can form good habits just as easily as you can form bad habits. And it's just as easy to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is to turn your back to him and go to the frills of the world and be lost and find the misery and the heartache and the trials and the tribulations and the ugliness and the hatred that lies there by the power of the lion who is set to deceive, for whom there is no light but darkness. One can just as easily walk with that peace, not as the world give I unto you, but a peace that comes through the Spirit of God that moves the hearts of the children of men
and edified within their hearts and mind that there is a God and Creator. And with that came a law. And that we're His children and we must be submissive to His holy will. And that we must walk in His path if we're to be His children and endure to the end. For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course of eternal bliss. And I believe that. That doesn't mean that you won't have any problems or tribulations. But don't ever think for a minute that it doesn't point you to a straight course of eternal bliss, because in times of trial and tribulation, through the instrument of God the Eternal Father and His divine love, you can have within you such a peace that is not known unto the children of men, save those who have embraced Christ within their heart and have taken up their cross to follow Him. It doesn't say that all's going to be rosy. No, we're going to be tempted. If you think the old adversary is going to miss you, go to the guy next to you, and he's not going to try to tempt you and turn you. Don't ever think that for a moment, because he is. And especially if you're of the household of God. Because it puts a feather in his bonnet if he turns one who once believed. Yes, prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. And know from which that source of edification and understanding must come. And it is not in the wisdom of men, but it must be sponsored by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, that shall bring all things which Jesus has taught under our remembrance. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers, by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a better land of promise. Isn't that the truth? That the words of Christ will carry those who will believe beyond the veil to a better land of promise. Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the uneasiness of the way. Oh, he didn't say it was going to be easy. Sure, there's going to be rough ways. Yes, there's going to be some uphill proposition. You better believe it. It's going to be uphill, and it's going to tax your mind and your heart and your spirit. But glory be to God, the Eternal Father, through His magnificent love and mercy, though the power that is within His is beyond us to understand, but it works upon the children of men in such a tender and such a gentle way that it molds a mind and a heart and brings it to the knowledge of the truth. And it sets its feet on a course that might be rugged, yet their feet become callous wherein they can walk, because they walk in the word of the gospel. Now, my son, let us not be slothful because of the easiness of the way, for so was it with our fathers, for so was it prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us. The way is prepared. You better believe that. The way is prepared. Young people know. Old people, middle-aged people, know that God has prepared the way. And it's been prepared before the foundation of the earth. The way is prepared. And if we will look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that you take care of these sacred things. Take care of those sacred things. Yea, see that ye look to God. That's the
power of life. That's the power that has life held in its hand. That's the power that says none can pluck from you. Behold, if they will endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I'd like to go quickly to the 14th chapter of Alma. And I'm going to read as Ammon was down there teaching unto the children of men, and as the Lamanites rose up against the anti-Nephite people and one thing and another, he tells them this, and I want to read in the 37th and the 38th verses. And the great God has had mercy on us and made these things known unto us that we might not perish. Yea, and he has made these things known unto us before, and because he loved our souls, he has caused those things to be written because he loves our souls. There's not one within the sound of my voice that the one who created you does not love you. Not a one. Oh, yes, you might say I'm unworthy. Yeah, we can say that. But he loves us. Because we're his children. He loves his children. Just like his parents loved her. Only with a great God. And he has made known these things unto us beforehand, because he loved our soul as well as he loved our children. Therefore, in his mercy, he doth visit us by his angels, that the plan of salvation might be known unto us. That the plan of salvation might be known. Has he not visited us? How often times have you and I prayed for something? How often times have we been warned? How often times when we were visiting with the Lord, we have felt his holy presence there with us and uplifted our soul, and we knew he was there. We knew he was there. We knew he was hearing our voice. We knew that he needed, that he knew of our need. As well as unto future generations. Oh, how merciful is our God. Could we change that today? No. That merciful God who was interested in those souls, that he brought forth that salvation, even by angels and by his beloved Son, would we change that today and say it wasn't for us because we were in the future? Or would we come to the realization that he said, wake up, open up your eyes. I'm speaking to you even by the movement of those things in the world to proclaim unto the children of men that I, your God, am the one that has the power to view the future and proclaim unto the children of men the rise and the falls of nations and how my holy hand shall set. Us about it every day of our life, and we see the flows in those things. We need not be afraid, but we need to look up and have faith in God. We need not be afraid, but we need to more fully reach out unto him and say, Lord, what is it that I can do to help? What is it that might, that why I'm here in this tabernacle of clay, what is it that I can do that I might support the work of the gospel of Christ? It might be to pay your tithes. Yes, to pay your tithes. To support the body of Jesus Christ. To support the work of the gospel of Christ. There are so many ways that our duties to be performed by the power of God and for God, that he would bless us in that work if we would just reach out in faith and work in that. try to be as brief as possible. But there's so much to tell you. Yeah, I know that you know. But there's so much we need to continue to speak with one another, that it would remain alive within us. That we don't become callous like those of ancient time of the house of Israel, who have so often turned away from God after they had been so richly blessed. And have not we been richly blessed? Did not God set his hand with what we would call the restored gospel of Jesus Christ? Did he not cause an angel to fly from the midst of heaven to embrace us, to bring again and to edify again the souls of the children of men, of the love of God, to reach out to save the soul of those for whom he has created? Have we not witnessed those things? Do we not have them before us? Are we not privileged to seek our God and to open up the pages and ask him to give us vision and understanding of those things which are true, that we might be edified of that spirit that enables us to teach with authority the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that is what comes through the power of God. I want to go over into Isaiah quickly. I'm going to read in the 43rd chapter. I'm going to begin in the 8th verse. He says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes. Those who have eyes, but they're blind. They're blind because they have not embraced that salvation that was even proclaimed by angels and the Son of God. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled who are among them can declare this. Who among them can declare the things of God or the things of the future other than God the Eternal Father, and show us former things? Who among them can proclaim these things and show us the former things? Which one of us here this day, or those that you have embraced at work or at school or wherever you might be, or anyone that you've rubbed elbows upon the street, of the multitudes of the nation, who can proclaim with a moment that shall come, the very minute that shall come past my clock ticking, and tell you what's going to happen, unless it's sponsored by the power of God the Eternal Father? No one. Can you tell of what's going to happen to you tomorrow? No. He says, who can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses. He said, let those who think that they're moved bring forth the witnesses, and see if they come true, that they may be justified. Or let them hear. Let them hear the words of God. Let them hear the words of that salvation. Let them hear the words of the prophet that spoke, who were sponsored by the Holy Ghost. Let them hear those words and say it is truth. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe. Ye are his witnesses, saith the Lord, and the servant to whom he has chosen. We, this day, as we sit here, are the servants in whom he has chosen, and his witnesses, that we may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no sin. I'd like to read another scripture quickly and shortly. I'm going to start the 25th verse real quickly. He says, to whom then, this is the Lord speaking, will ye liken me? I want you to ask yourself that. To whom in this whole world can you liken me? He says, to whom can you liken me? To whom can we? Or shall I be equal?
Saith the Holy One.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them by their names, by the greatness of his might, that he is that for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faileth not? Is there any doubt in our mind that he will not be the victor? Neither is weary. No, he's not weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they, you and I, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as angels, as eagles. They shall run and be not weary. They shall walk and faint not. By the power of the God that says, who can you liken unto me? I'm reminded of the scripture.
What was your text there, Brother Yates, that you just read? What was your text you just read there, if you will, please? Give us your scripture reading there that you just gave.
It was the 40th chapter of Isaiah. I'm reading the 40th chapter of Isaiah, and I begin in the 21st, the 25th verse, and I read through the chapter, the 31st. I'm reminded of an individual one time that you're all aware of as you study the scriptures. We call him Peter. And when Christ called them together, he girded himself and he took a pan of water. He says, now I'm going to worship thee. He got to Peter, and Peter said, oh no, you ain't worship my feet. The Lord says, if I don't worship your feet, I'm not part of you. Let me read that. Excuse me, I've got to read that to you, because that's a beautiful scripture. I want to read in the 13th chapter of St. John. After he poured, then we'll start the 5th verse. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel. And then he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest. Not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if thou wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Told him, if I wash thee not, ye have no part of me. But I like the answer of Peter. Well, should be your answer and mine today. He didn't say, well, go ahead. Get away from me. Oh, he said, he recognized me. He used to be part of Christ. He wanted that. So he said, Lord, wash my feet. Wash my hand. Wash my head. Wash me. Well, he wanted the Lord to wash any part of him that was necessary to stay with the Lord. Listen. Thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus answered. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He wanted to be washed of the Lord. And you know, you and I want to be washed of the Lord every day. We want to be blessed.
rejected. We want to hold fast to that salvation that has been given unto the children of men. We want to hold fast to those things. And we don't want to hold the Lord back when He wants to work with us. We don't want to hold Him back and say, "No, Lord, You can't do that with me. I'm not going to be humble." But we want to tell Him, "You want to wash my feet, wash my hands and my head. Wash any part of me that's necessary." God needs. I'd like to read in closing a poem that was written by my grandfather Yeats in Phoenix, Arizona, June the 29th of 1940. It's called "The Miracle Rock." There is a miracle rock in the mountain to supply ancient Israel's thirst. They drank from that blessed fountain, but they had to go forth first. If you and I want to drink from that miracle rock, it's going to require something else. They had to go forth first. There was a miracle rock in the mountain where the word of their Savior led. There was a miracle. There was a marvelous spread in the desert where was manna. The people were fed. It was at this miracle rock in the mountain, when smitten by the prophet's rod, where that sparkling liquid fountain gushed forth by the power of God. Oh, that miracle rock in the mountain, beneath the heat of the desert blaze, where the water from an eternal fountain brought forth glad songs of praise. They all drank from that rock that followed, far afield from the old Pharaoh's hoard. They all drank from that living fountain, none other than Christ, our Lord. To this same miracle rock in the mountain comes again God's people to a brink. "Go forward," saith God, "to the fountain where the souls of my own to drink."
Number 122 and go.